Welcome to the teaching ministry of Pastor Taiwo Dukoya, the senior pastor of the Fountain of Life Church. It is our prayer that the message you're about to hear will no doubt shape your destiny in Christ. Be blessed as you listen.
This morning, we want to remind you of what you already know. And amazingly, though using other scriptures and then explaining it differently, Pastor Nomti kind of put us there. You say, why does it happen that way? I don't know. I get the message as I'm led, and I'll hear some of the testimonies. She'll be pointing to it. And when she comes up, any pastor comes to announce. So for me, it gives me more confidence every time that we're hearing God. Oh, yeah. We're hearing God. And somebody will hear clearer today in Jesus' name. Praise the Lord. You see, I was thinking of this service yesterday, and the first thing that hit me is, you know, if you're not careful, what you knew in the primary school may now become a problem when you're an adult. You used to know it, I mean, you could do it, but along the line, you forgot it. Howbeit, you apply the principles in most of what you do now, if you just go back and say, please, what's 625 raised to power 2? Okay, that's too hard. Oh, somebody said, if it is mass, it's too hard. Okay. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Can somebody define adjective? That one, define it. Adjective. Is a description. And what's verb? So the descriptive word is. Oh, so you remember. So you shouldn't be making mistakes when you speak English. Yes. And then, what of adverb? I can hear you now. It's like your confidence is winning. But you see, we apply and we employ these things and their meanings on a daily basis. But because we don't go back to the rudiments, it can be tough. It's the same thing with the things of the Spirit. Let me read the scripture. Wow. Okay. Okay. Amen. Let me start with this scripture in Acts chapter 6. Then I'll go backward and forward as the time allows me. Not too much time. In Acts chapter 6, I want you to notice something there. Now, the book of Acts is the first few years of the church on earth. Not the then church, because it's still the same church continuing today. Where the results of what they did, as they were the results of what Jesus did firsthand. Praise the Lord. So in chapter 6, the church was growing tremendously. Thank you, Jesus. And then because of increasing number, increasing human problem. It was a careful that said to me many years ago, said growth comes with its own challenges. So I listened to him. Then separately, by the way, he said the same thing. As your ministry grows, the responsibility gets bigger. And then the numerous human challenges get multiplied. In fact, talk about the numerous challenges, they become more numerous. And then the different ones now becomes more in number too. If you're just a church of 10 people, somebody has no house rent, we'll contribute money and that's it. When we're 100, maybe about 3 or 4 people will have no house rent. And then when they say, please, by the time you contribute the first and the second, they're like, okay. By the time we are 10,000, then we'll be close to 50, 60 with our house rent. Come on. So, and the various challenges of life to come that way by the grace of God. Praise the Lord. So when you're praying for increase, know that God is giving you the capacity for great leadership. And I see increase. In a way, a manner that we can't anticipate. Praise the Lord. So there was increase in chapter 6, and there was a problem. Immediately there were murmurings. And remember, when you're murmuring, you're not giving thanks. The moment you find yourself murmuring and complaining and complaining, then you are becoming less appreciative of God. At least there, in that situation. And the chances that you see God coming there will be a little thin. But when you say, thank you, Lord, I feel the fire. I said it, I feel the fire. When you say, thank you, Lord, even when you don't understand stuff, he comes in. In fact, it taps you like I just felt. Oh, yeah, I'm here. What do you want me to do? That's why the psalmist will write that he enthrones the praises of his people. When thanksgiving, praise, and worship begins to go up, don't look for God anywhere. He's right there. More so when it's from the heart. So there was a problem, and they began to murmur. Their murmuring is not good. For the vital church, murmuring is not good. Murmuring will bring the church down. So, pastor, now I get the trick. Me and my friend and our group, we start to murmur. That will not work. It will have no power. Your murmuring is fake. It is selfish and fake. This one was genuine. Because they felt that, oh, it's because we are not Jews. That's why our old ones are neglected. So the apostles made the move immediately to solve it. But if you say, we are going to start murmuring now, so there will be trouble. Because that's planned. That's demonic. All right? I just said that to balance it. So if you murmur, don't be. Say, I murmur, they didn't see me, we won't see you. But there are murmurings that God see. Praise the Lord. So, and that was their problem. Now, see how they solved the problem. Verse 3. Therefore, brethren, seek out from among you 7 men. Follow me and look at their qualifications. 7 men of good reputation. So your reputation is important. Men say, I don't care what they think about me. Please care. But you cannot force their opinion. But you just make sure that you are not a thief, so nobody can call you a thief. So if you're not a thief and they're calling you a thief, God will slap them. Simple. So you have nothing to worry about. So your reputation is important. 7 men with good reputation. The next one is where I'm going. Read with me. No, come on, again. Some are not interested. Okay. One more time. And you can't do anything in the kingdom without the Holy Spirit. Even to serve tables. As a matter of fact, as a child of God, you can't do anything in life. As a covenant child of God, you can't do anything in life with the kind of success that heaven expects without the Holy Ghost. You can't. Now we're looking for those that will serve the tables. And even for that meager, as it were, job, we need people who are... We're not looking for people who have the Holy Spirit. We're looking for those who are full of the Holy Spirit. Full of the Holy Spirit. And so they chose 7. But we will give ourselves continually to prayer and to the ministry of the word. And the same pleased the whole multitude. So the multitude too knew that if you get men of good reputation and full of the Holy Spirit, the work will be done. They knew. Praise the Lord. And that was how Stephen was mentioned. And they chose Stephen, and here his own qualification, a man full of faith and the Holy Spirit. And Philip, Prochorus, Nicanor, Timon, Parmenas, Nicholas, a proselyte from Antioch. They saw them. But out of this, I think 2 of them backslided. At least I know Nicholas didn't last. So that means that it's not enough to be full of the Holy Spirit. You have to be continuously full of the Holy Spirit. You were so full yesterday, you got to be full today. Hello? And I've not said that you have to fast 40 days to be full. There's a place for fasting in the body. Please get that right. There's a place for prayer meeting. I mean fervent prayers in the body. Let's get it right. But what I'm saying is, you don't need to go on a 40 days fasting before you are full of the Holy Spirit. Because my Bible tells me that if you were human, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your Father in heaven readily give the Holy Spirit to them who are sickened? Praise the Lord. So, and that was Stephen. So maybe I should just go with Stephen for a while. Then if I have the time, I'll go elsewhere. So that was Stephen. Then in verse 8, just follow me. How did you come about Stephen, first of all? Somebody answer me. How did you come about Stephen? How? They don't know you here. How? We were looking for men full of faith, and that was how he was introduced. That was what introduced him. He had it. They knew it. That was what brought him out. Okay. Verse 8. And Stephen, can you hear again? Full of what? In fact, go back to verse 5. And they chose Stephen. Look at a man full. And
Holy Ghost.
Look at verse 8. And Stephen, come on, the next line. Full of faith and power. Malabo Shandalaba. What happened? Did great wonders. Don't struggle for wonders. Just be filled constantly. There's no struggle in life. You don't need to prove anything to anybody. Just be full of the Holy Spirit. Just be full of the Holy Spirit. And Stephen, full of faith and power, did great wonders. And signs among the people. Then there arose some from what is called the synagogue of the freedmen. Those in bondage call themselves free. It's still happening today. They say they are the all wise, they are the this, they are all kinds of occultic groups all over the world. Well, they say it's not occultic. They say it's just secret. What are you hiding? I'm a Freemason. Bonus call. Hello. Illuminati. When even young boys from secondary school are looking for how to join Illuminati so they can be great and famous. You want to sing, whether you're in Nigeria or Ghana or Cameroon, you want to be like them in America, it's okay. It's good to be ambitious. But why must you be looking for Illuminati? You want to make best of your career and your business, you're looking for Illuminati. Mistake. You should look for the Holy Spirit. So he did great wonders and signs among the people. Then there arose trouble. They framed him. Hallelujah. Then he was brought before the high priest. And they began to accuse him. So much trouble, but when he was given time to answer, he preached. Oh my goodness, this man. He preached. By the time he finished preaching, they were looking for where to hide. And some were so angry that they looked for stones, and they got stones, and they killed him. So in his sermon, if you look at chapter 7, verse 51, before then, let me take it from 44. Our fathers had the tabernacle of witness in the wilderness. Hear what he's saying. Our fathers have the tabernacle of witness, talking about the presence of God. You know, Holy Spirit is the presence of God. He was full of it. Okay. Here, what he was telling them, that had no knowledge, but they thought they knew more than everybody. He was educating them. They didn't like it. Our fathers had the tabernacle of witness in the wilderness, as he appointed, instructing Moses to make it according to the pattern that he had seen, which our fathers, having received it, in turn also brought with Joshua into the land possessed by the Gentiles, whom God drove out before the face of our fathers until the days of David, who found favor before God and asked to find a dwelling for the God of Jacob. But Solomon built him a house. Fantastic achievements. However, it was Stephen that was talking to them. However, with all these feats achieved and performed, the Most High does not dwell in temples made with hands. Okay? As the prophet says, heaven is my throne, the earth is my footstool. What house will you build for me, says the Lord? Or what is the place of my rest? Has my hand not made all these things? Then he now gave it to them. You stiff-necked and uncircumcised in heart. All you brag about is your outward circumcision. Your hearts are dangerous, he was telling them. Heart and ears. You always resist. Who? So you see the difference between him and them? He was full, but they were busy resisting the Holy Spirit. As your fathers did, so do you. Which of the prophets did your father not persecute? And they killed those who foretold the coming of the Just One, of whom you now have become the betrayers and murderers, who have received the law by direction of angels and have not kept it. When they heard these things, they were cut to their hearts and they gnat at him with their teeth. But he, being, come and help me again, but he, I can hear you. I can hear you. One more time. Any time reference was made to Stephen, or even now reference is made to Stephen in this written word, you see, full of the Holy Spirit, full of faith, full of wisdom, full of power. He was a man that was constantly full. But he, being full of the Holy Spirit, gazed into heaven and saw the glory of God and Jesus standing at the right hand of God. Hallelujah. So that's the most I want to take about, I mean, from Stephen. He was killed. If you look at the next chapter, 59. And they stoned Stephen as he was calling on God and saying, Lord Jesus, receive my spirit. Then he knelt down and cried out with a loud voice, Lord, do not charge them with this sin. And when he had said this, he fell asleep. That wasn't natural. But you see, it was possible because here was a man that was full. So it was easy to be like Jesus. Because what makes the difference is the Holy Ghost. In the life of a man or a woman, is only the Holy Spirit. Pastor, be careful. What about the word? You don't know the word until the Holy Ghost teaches you. Simple. You can read all you want. Even Jesus said that when he comes, he will teach you. One of his very strong ministries is that he is a teacher. So they killed him. Chapter 8. Oh. But you see, in chapter 8, Saul was consenting to the death. He was their leader. Saul was not anything near Christianity. Saul was a zealot. He was very, very zealot for the Lord. But without the Holy Ghost. So what he thought he was doing well, he was doing against God. The question is this. Can religion be fighting God and think that they are doing well? Come and talk to me. I can hear you. And when you see religious people, wow! They justify themselves for that. I practice, I do religion, I am this, I am this, I am this. But could all their efforts be an abomination to God? That's exactly what it is. People pride themselves in their religions. They will kill for their religion. I'm not just talking of radical Islamic people, no. The Sikh, the Buddhist, the people defend and fight. So what if you pick swords and fight for your religion? God will say, I didn't send you. Yeah. He has a way by which he fights. So that was Saul. In chapter 9, Saul was going to kill more and get more into prisons in Damascus. Then had an encounter. I mean raw encounter. Then a dialogue ensued. Because he had a voice on the ground where he was falling. He said, Saul, Saul, why are you persecuting me? He said, who are you, Lord? He said, I am Jesus. The one you are persecuting. Don't you know it's difficult for you to kick against the gods? So he said he was Jesus. And he said to him, look, you know what? They will lead you into the city and it shall be told you what to do. Listen, gentlemen, and the man who journeyed with me stood speechless, hearing a voice but seeing no one. They were hearing a voice, they didn't see anybody, but they heard him talking and somebody talking back to him. Then Saul arose from the ground, and when his eyes were opened, saw no one, but they led him by the hand and brought him to Damascus, and was there 3 days without sight, and neither ate nor drank. Because this is strange. Now, there was a certain disciple in Damascus named Ananias. Now, God approached him and said to him, arise and go to the street called Straight and inquire at the house of Judas. Can I be frank with you? God knows you. Don't struggle to get his attention. He knows you. You have it. So what do you mean by don't struggle to get his attention? I mean, just walk in the light of his affection. Embrace his affection and go ahead. Don't try to say, I want to see you, I want to get you. No. He already sees you. He already knows you. He knows where you stay. He knows your problem. He knows your weaknesses. He knows your strength. He knows how much you really want to serve him. He knows how much you are struggling with stuff. So don't begin to struggle like, let me get his attention. No. You already have his attention. You can just walk in the light of his presence. Pastor, okay, fine. What when I'm worshiping? It's because you know that he's near. That's why you worship. And then when you worship, can I be frank with you, when you worship, what happens? We say he inhabits the places. Yes, he inhabits praises. But when you worship, your attention goes away from the mundane. You are the one that looks away to look at him. And then, of course, you hear him clearly. You see him clearly. And so he now went to say to Ananias, now you go to this street called Straight and inquire of the house of Judah for one called Saul. He knew where I was staying, he knew the address, he knew the house where I was staying. Say, you go there. So Ananias was given the address by God. He knows my name. He knows my address. Believe me, he does. I don't know about you, but he does. But if you're a born again child of God, you should know that he does. Hello? That's why you hear me say, don't you ever pity yourself. It's the greatest ignorance that can be displayed this side of heaven. That's not to say that you won't have challenges. But he will help you through in Jesus' name. Judas, for one calls Saul of Tarsus, for behold, he is praying. And in a vision, he has seen a man. Can you imagine just an encounter with Jesus instead of praising the gifts of the Spirit? He saw. See, for the bulk of the church, we think that God hides these gifts and only a few. No, pressing. You discover that there are gifts that have been dormant in your lives. There are. In a vision, he has seen a man named Ananias. So if Ananias didn't appear and you went to Saul to talk to him, he would say, are you Ananias? Because he has seen and heard that Ananias is coming. He just gave his life some 3 days ago or 2 days ago. Okay? I don't know how else to say it. God wants to share secrets with you. Amen. Or let me put it better. God is sharing secrets with you, but you are too busy. You are too noisy. So he complained in verse 15. God said, go, for he is a chosen vessel of mine to bear my name before the Gentiles, kings and children of Israel. For I will show him how many things he must suffer for my name's sake. 17. And Ananias went his way and entered the house and laying his hand on him, he said, Brother Saul, the Lord Jesus who appeared to you on the road as you came has sent me that you may, come and help me. Sight and... And from that moment, everything changed for Saul. His sight came and he was filled. The Bible says that, where is it now? Yeah. So immediately there fell off from his eyes something like scales and he received his sight at once. And he arose and was baptized. And when he had received food, he was strengthened. Then Saul spent some days with disciples at Damascus. And immediately he preached the Christ in the synagogue that he is the Son of God. The next thing you find him doing in public, he was preaching Christ. He was preaching Christ. Who taught him? He was full of the Holy Ghost. Full of the Holy Ghost. Because thereafter, you see Paul, everywhere you see Paul, it was about the Holy Spirit. It was about Jesus Christ and the Holy Ghost that he has given. Jesus Christ and the Holy Ghost that he has given. Jesus Christ, the Holy Ghost that he has given. And that was all the message he preached his whole life. Pastor, so you mean he didn't talk? No, he will talk of so many other things, but in the light of Jesus Christ and his Holy Spirit. So much so that when he got to Ephesus, yes, where he met 12 disciples, and they were doing very well. He said, have you received the Holy Spirit? They said, we have never heard of it. Whoa! He said, wow. Immediately, he said, well, that is this work. He started teaching them, and when later, they were filled. Hallelujah. Now we can dialogue properly. Now we can start from the same page. Now we can see things the same way that heaven sees things. Aha. And before long, within 3 years, not just a nation, almost a whole continent was converted. What if we begin to take the Holy Ghost seriously from today? We will have him. What if we're a little more serious with the Holy Spirit? Will things change? Is it not a neglected God that is ever present? My very present help in time of trouble, but is neglected. I do everything but him. What if I said, no, I will do nothing henceforth without you? My helper. My helper. He will show me things before they happen. He will show me what is hidden. My helper. My helper. My helper. He will help me attain. He will help me climb. Through him I run through a troop. Through him I leap over a wall. Always setting my feet on the mountain like my hands, like the hands' feet. My helper. My helper. Through him I'm gentle. I'm kind. I'm loving. My helper. Through him I can minister grace. And people, yeah, we can see Jesus, my helper. We are not expected to do anything as Christians outside him. Remember, God was talking to them, even the Old Testament said, I am the one that gives you power. What is exactly? That's unction for wealth. That's the mystery of the Holy Spirit. Can't you see that you are much more than the devil has ever told you? Now you can appreciate why it says, out of your belly shall flow rivers. So what if I wake up in the morning and I become conscious and say, oh, good morning, Jesus. Good morning, Father. Good morning, Holy Ghost. Shall we? That's when you will know that it has very long arms. That's when you know that his legs can go from here to Babich if you must kick somebody out of my way. That's why you know that it can become the plane that you don't have. In fact, faster than the jet. Wait. And something's happening far away before you know. He is everything to man on earth today. And we always glorify Jesus, the baptizer with the Holy Spirit. I believe strongly that the days of your struggles are over. In the name of Jesus. He's the unusual defender, the unusual provider, the unusual protector. I mean, that was all the life of Paul. See, the book of Acts, seriously, what's Acts? It's the Acts of the Apostles. It is the working of the Holy Ghost in the life of the apostles, period. And everything in the book of Acts to the end is about the Holy Spirit elevating Jesus. And if that's the pattern for the church, don't you think that we have digressed a little? Because there's no way you want to talk to the Holy Ghost. If you're talking to the Holy Ghost, you'll be exalting Jesus clearly before people. Now that you've heard, if you're born again, you have a measure. If you're born again and you are baptized with the Holy Spirit, you can be full at every time. You know, in Ephesians chapter 5, it said, do not be drunken with, from verse 18, it said, do not be drunken with wine, wherein it is excess. But be filled. Be what? Filled. The word there, if you look at a more contemporary translation, it said, but continue to be filled, but be being filled with the Holy Ghost at every time. Then you become wise as against the foolish of this world. I feel the fire. Why don't you just feel me anew? Just talk to him. And let me tell you, let me warn you quickly, let me warn you. When you make this kind of move on the Holy Ghost, when it comes with gifts. Let me bring her. I mean it. When it comes with gifts. Because he's come to equip you. Go ahead. You are a weakling, you are a failure, forget that. You just want more right now. You see? Yeah. That's the Holy Ghost. Receive where you are. Yeah. All over the hall. We are in your presence. Fill us with your power. Live inside. There is no limit. He provides. Woo-hoo. He delivers. Woo-hoo. All over the hall in the name of Jesus. Let him have his way. He comes with favor. He comes with wisdom. Hallelujah. Now let me tell you this. Just like you're experiencing him here, you will experience him much more in your bedroom. Yeah. You know what he said when talking about the Holy Ghost? He said, I will never leave you as an orphan. I'm always with you. You will never be alone again in your life. Yeah. That's the ministry of the Holy Spirit. And if he never leaves, then he is forever helping. So he will give me money. What is money? The cattle of the 1,000 hills are his. Have you forgotten that? See, if I were hungry, you think I'd come and ask you? People writing in their will, after fighting against Christianity for so long, when they are dying, they're not like, please give so to that church at the corner of my street. And he never attended that church. What do you say to that? To that one that he sent that God told him, God, I don't like him, but can you give him $10 million? What do you say about that? He owns the man that owns the money. There is nothing he can do. Father, we give you praise in Jesus' name.
We know that you have been tremendously blessed by this message. For additional information and materials from Pastor Taiwo Odukoya, please contact us at the Fountain of Life Church, 12 Industrial Estate Road by PZ Industries, Off Town Planning Way, Ilukweju, Lagos. Visit our website at www.tfolc.org. Thank you. God bless you.